You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Had a good Tuesday morning, May the 18th, 2021, to you and yours. The show, of course, is DCR. We take you till 8 o'clock. That's when KJZ takes over. Let's say good morning to the guys. Lot to get into. I mean, tons to get into. A little CMT, our version of CMT at 6:45 this morning. And let's say good morning to Chris Canty. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Actually, I got a nosebleed last night.
Say more. What happened?
I don't know. It's nothing nefarious, but
okay.
I think my allergies getting the best of me here. I think a little dryness and yeah, always disconcerting when you see blood coming out of the nose. But I'm okay. I'm here. I'm ready to go.
All right.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a concern. I mean, a nosebleed for you could be lethal.
What does that mean?
I'll let you figure it out.
Wow.
Good morning, I think he's
good morning,
you're
Carlos.
Soft.
Wow.
He's saying you're no Kevin Pillar.
Yes. Yeah, both Kevin Pillar and I had vicious nosebleeds last night.
Except you didn't take 94 to the grill.
No, that is true. Good morning, Chris Carlin, in for Rick DiPietro. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. What's going on?
Well, look at you. You've really adjusted to these early hours beautifully.
Yeah. And today's the last day, so good luck with this.
So if they came to you and said, listen, we love what you've done. We'd like you to either be a fourth on the show or replace one of the guys that's currently on the show. But these are your hours. You know, wake up 3:30, got to go to bed 9:30. Welcome aboard. Big money though on the other side. You taking this?
There are some. Yeah, I mean, what those
was
numbers
able to get out there and
yeah, what those numbers look like and who I'm replacing, I think would be probably a concern in there as well. I really enjoy working with Chris a lot, and boy, Rick was a lot of fun last week. So, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, should I just log off here? I got Canty taking shots. I got you taking shots.
Well, Dave, you're the one that's trying to Wally Pip one of us. You're talking about Carlin replacing somebody that's on the show.
I said, and you're leaving your nose open too. If they decided we need more people, let's add more people to the show. A fourth person on the show. You're replacing no one. Your voice is just being heard with the three of us now.
Do they do four people radio shows?
Oh, ESPN is very in very creative with what they can put together.
All right. I didn't know that was a thing, Dave.
I'd say this. I don't know, given the fact that I'm an acquired taste to begin with, I don't know that mine is the voice that you want to wake up with, consistently at least. I can be a bit much for myself, let alone you guys.
Are there ever times when you're disgusted with yourself?
Oh, are you kidding me? I live in it. I swim in it. There are absolutely times I'm disgusted with myself. There have to be times that you have gotten sick of yourself over the last year. Not, I don't mean you specifically. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Wish you could take a vacation from yourself. Like, absolutely. Leave me alone already.
Get me the hell away from this
and you're
guy.
Here again?
Oh, no question. Yeah, exactly.
I can't deal with you anymore. You're the worst. Oh, yeah. Not only
we
over
get
the
it,
last
fatty.
Year.
Come on, shut up.
Yeah, no, I've had that many, many times in my lifetime. All right, so let's get into a little bit of the sports stuff. 800-919-3776. 7-6. Of course, we're going to get into the Knicks a little bit later. Nets and Kyrie Irving as well. We'll start with the baseball, though. Injuries. And a loss for the Yankees last night. And Canty, I was saying it when we had our little pre-show meeting. When you're listening to these games with Garrett Cole on the mound, again, not concerning. I think you're fine. But it's like, ugh, these are the games that you expect to win if you're the Yankees.
No, they absolutely are. I mean, you circle those starts because you're assuming that Garrett Cole is going to be able to give you a quality start, 6 to 7 innings of 2-run ball or better. And last night, he just got touched up by the Rangers. Like, it's not something that you would expect, but that's what happened. I mean, he gave up some hard contact, and you just realized it was going to be one of those nights where he didn't have his best stuff. So it's unfortunate that you drop one of his starts because we know how valuable they are, especially with some of the question marks that the Yankees still have in their rotation. But, I mean, those games are bound to happen. Like, that is what it is. I mean, the guy can't be perfect every single time out. I think the thing that's the most concerning as a Yankees fan is Stanton going on the IL. Like, that's just, like, you're tired of having to deal with injuries to guys that are supposed to be a major part of your lineup. This guy is supposed to be your everyday DH, and you're just wondering, okay, if the Yankees are trying to be proactive about keeping him healthy and giving him days off, and we're still dealing with injuries, is that strategy, is that approach the right one as we continue to progress throughout the season?
And Carly, you know what's amazing to me? Just stop lying to me. Stop lying to me. Yeah. I mean, they do it consistently. Stop telling me he's fine. He's going to miss a day. You have nothing to worry about. Don't worry. He'll be back. No, he's not fine. He probably never was fine. I understand that you're trying to play it close to the vest, but stop lying to me, for God's sakes.
And the way they've handled it is very Metsian of the of probably the 5 or 6 year period before that. We're going to go day to day. We're going to ride this out a little bit. We're going to see where it's at. And you end up playing shorthanded. And that drives you insane. Like, it's one thing to not have the guy, but then to short yourself for a few days when you're dealing with a soft tissue injury with the guy that is one big pile of soft tissue. I mean, you know it's coming. You know it's coming. You know the guy you're dealing with. And I thought it was not funny, but just appropriate that Boone would say yesterday, yeah, well, you know, we put him on there and he understands he's probably better off doing it, you know, now to avoid something bigger. Well, what about 4 days ago? You know what I mean? I mean, yes, you can do it retroactively, but it's not just in this instance, but it's in a lot of instances of putting yourself in the situation of playing short. That drives me insane.
And it's always something. It's always something. And you know what? They actually need him now. Like, how many times in the past, you know, he's hitting 177. You're like, all right, well, you know, you lose him for 10 days or 2 weeks. It's not that big a deal. He's your best player. And if not your best player, your second best player. So now he goes down. I have Gary Sanchez hitting fifth last night. Like, Gary Sanchez is hitting less than 200. Look at the bottom of that Yankees lineup. Remember the day a couple years ago when you look at the Yankees lineup, you're like, God, this is murderer's row. Mm-hmm. And I have Gardner batting ninth. Now I have Gardner batting sixth, and he actually had a couple hits last night. But God, this is not a daunting lineup anymore for the Yankees.
No, it's not a daunting lineup, and there's not a lot of guys that you feel confident about in terms of their approach when they get in the batter's box. Guys are struggling right now up and down the lineup, and so this is a big blow for the Yankees because Stanton was a guy, you know, a couple of weeks ago that was carrying your offense. Dave, he's got a slash line of 282, 347, 534. He's got 6 doubles, 9 home runs, and 24 RBIs. Like, that's what he was capable of doing a quarter of the way through the season. So, I mean, this is one of those things where you're looking at it and you're saying, man, this is a big part of it. I mean, you can make an argument that this is one of the best starts that Stanton has gotten out to in a season since he's been a Yankee. And to have that interrupted with dealing with an IL stint now, and God knows how long this is going to last, it's frustrating. But, no, that being said, you know, we're still on the right side of 500 with this team, and you just know that as the season goes on, you're going to get reinforcements. This team will get better. You'll start to add pieces to your starting rotation. Well, I think the Yankees will be in a much better spot a month from now than they are right now, and that's the same thing that we were saying back in April. But it's just frustrating when you have these little blips with injuries to key parts of your team, and you really don't have any definitive answers because, like Carlin was pointing out, it's hard to take the Yankees at their word when they're talking about projections dealing with injuries.
And what drives me particularly nuts about it now is you're actually in a position where the Aaron Hicks injury really, really, really hurts. And not just because he was playing well, but because of center field and because of all that he kind of represents. Like, it's his importance to the team overall is not just, you know, that he could potentially hit. I think, you know, for the most part in his career as a Yankee, that hasn't exactly been what you would have hoped it would be. But what he can do defensively allows you to do the other things. Like, that was the idea behind being able to play Clint Frazier in left consistently. He can't hit a beach ball right now. Gardner would have been your fourth outfielder. He's going to play every day. I look at that situation, and I do wonder, Chris and Dave, like, how they are going to navigate this for the entirety of the year. I'm not saying that they're not going to win a division, they're not going to make a playoffs, but the entirety of the season, are they going to get better? Like, those reinforcements, are they truly reinforcements, or are they just guys who are coming back who we're not going to get a whole lot more from than they were really given before? And, you know, Stanton was playing well, but when can you count on that continuing? It's almost like when he, it might be unfair to him, but it's almost like when he was playing well, all right, when's he going to get hurt?
Yeah, but how's that unfair? That's
it's not.
That's,
maybe it's not. I was
that's
trying
where
to
we've been led.
Be diplomatic. It's not unfair. It's
not unfair
fair.
At all. I mean, how many times? I think it's the same thing with Judge. I don't think it's unfair. I think continuously when the same guys get hurt over and over and over again and wind up on the injured list, that's your thought process. Is it's only a matter of time before they get hurt. I don't think that's unfair of you at all.
No, that's not unfair. It's not unfair at all. But I guess the biggest thing is, like, are you going to be able to get enough out of those guys while they are in the lineup for this team to get to where they want to go? Like, that remains the biggest question. Like, okay, if you only get 120 games from Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, is that going to be enough for this Yankees team to win their division and position themselves to be able to go on a postseason run? Like, that's the question. Like, it's just a matter of production because it's not a matter of whether or not these guys are going to get hurt. We've seen that, you know, throughout the last couple of years. Like, that's going to happen. So it's just a matter of, can the Yankees manage it? Can they mitigate their absences enough to where the production that you do get from those guys when they're in the lineup is going to lead to you being where you want to be?
And then, listen, I don't mean to just completely rip Sanchez up because it's an easy thing to do. He had a good weekend, back to wearing the collar yesterday. And, you know, as you mentioned, he's hitting fifth in the lineup. You know, that's troubling enough right now, but right back to an 0-for-4. You know, a hot streak would not kill you.
No. I mean, you got him hitting 5. You got Gardner, who's hitting less than 206. You got Frazier hitting 150 at 7. You got Higashioka hitting 185 8th. I mean, the bottom of that lineup is is not exactly murderer's row for the Yankees right now.
I just laugh. Like, Michael gave the stat during the game. The Yankees catchers lead Major League Baseball in home runs. And when you hear something like that, you figure, oh, well, okay, that's just combining the 9 home runs from Sanchez to the 1 for Higashioka. No, it's 5-5. It's 5-5. Higashioka has as many home runs as Gary Sanchez does right now.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's fair to say, and I'll say it, I think Higashioka is better than Gary Sanchez right now.
I agree. And the thing is, you should be able, with this team, to weather the storm offensively to deal with whatever Higashioka gives you at the plate because he is better behind the plate.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever happened to our biggest fan contest, Canty? Where are we going to do that? Like, the number one fan of the show?
I thought we were fielding calls
rosters
to see if people could come in and make their pitch to be our number one fan.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of a contest. Because yesterday, I guess I referred to Lonnie when he called. I said, possibly, quite possibly, our number one fan. I got a lot of tweets like, that's not fair. he's not the number one fan. You were supposed to have the big contest about that, and I think I'm the number one fan, or someone else is the number one fan. There feels like there's a strong anti-Lonnie movement going on out there right now, that people don't really think he's the number one fan of the show.
Yeah, people have been directing a lot of smoke toward Lonnie on social media, and I actually don't like it. But if folks think they're the number one fan, then all they got to do is call into the show. Hard to make your case to be the number one fan if you're not calling the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, have your pitch of why, in fact, you're the number one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Carl, you think it's a very positive development that you have people fighting over it, right?
Oh, fighting over it. We had people calling, I want to be involved in the I'm the number one fan battle. Yeah, absolutely. To the death. Like a duel, really.
You have to feel great about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it can't be a virtual campaign to be the number one fan. Like, we got to hear from you. Like,
that's fair.
We need you to call in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have some guts. I mean,
sell yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the view's always best from the cheap seats. Why don't you get out here? Get in the mix.
That's right. Ask you a couple questions. Do you know this? Right? Yeah. What number did Canty wear in college? Do you know that, Carlin? What number Canty wore in college?
No clue.
Virginia?
There's no chance he knows that, Dave. No shot.
You want to bet?
Yeah, I want to bet.
Oh, boy. Gambling again.
I'm going to say you wore number 95 in college.
Yeah, that's because the guys from the glass told him.
No, Chris. Wahoo, wahoo. God, they did not say a word.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, how did you think up? Like, if you knew 95 right away, I'd say fine. But how did it take you, like, minutes?
For some reason, I had 90 stuck in my head. I swear to God.
Water is wet, Carlin. I'm a defensive lineman. What are you talking about?
Huh?
Water is wet. I'm a defensive lineman. Defensive linemen wear 90s numbers.
All right. Well, I said, listen. So wait, now I'm wrong for getting it right. RJ, Santi, did anybody say a word to me?
No, we were very preoccupied with other matters back here, so we would not have been able to mention anything to Chris about
that. So you just happened to take 10 to 14 seconds and stumble on 95.
Well, you were talking in the middle of it.
No.
Yes.
No, don't blame me.
I knew it was either 90 or 95. I don't know why I thought it was 90, so I said 95. There you go. Listen, if I'm cheating, I'll tell you I'm cheating.
Oh, okay.
So
you'll,
that was legitimate.
You'll channel your inner Rick DiPietro.
And exactly.
You'll confess after about 5 minutes of us back.
Oh, my God.
Gotcha.
By the way, if we ever do something that Rick knows about and he's brought in and questioned about it, we're in big trouble.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I mean, we are in big trouble.
Yeah, Dave, we got to get out of town. Might have to get out of the country.
Sings like a canary.
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to hold up under interrogation.
He is going to roll up on you so quick.
He's that guy, Carlin.
You're a cheater!
We got to get to that guy before the laws get to him.
That's right.
You cannot let him get put isolated with the cop in the room.
No, you bring him into the interrogation room,
I looked on the rundown.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I had to admit to cheating. Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Just gave it up like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just gave it up. Guys, the Mets, you know, to win a little banged up is occasionally fine. I don't know that I've ever seen a team this banged up right now. Taijuan Walker leaves the game. Obviously, Kevin Pillar leaves the game. He's hit in the face. That you add that to the amount of injuries they have right now. I mean, you're playing guys that really nobody ever knew who they were and that they were even in the Mets organization. The fact that they won last night is impressive, and got a great bullpen out of Sean Reed Foley. But, boy, you have to be worried about the Mets and their injuries right now.
Yeah, Dave, this is a running tally that's got to be unnerving if you're a Mets fan. I mean, just the guys that you got on the IL. Nemo, Conforto, Pillar, J.D. Davis, Guillorme, McNeil, DeGrom, Taijuan Walker, and then on the 60-day IL, you got Carrasco, Lugo, and Betances. Like, this is – I don't know how the Mets can continue to find ways to compete when you got that many pieces missing from your squad. Like, at some point, you just feel like that's going to catch up to you. Now, that was a nice win last night against a division opponent in the Braves.
Great win, yeah.
So you feel good about that. And James McCann with the pinch hit double to be able to secure the win for you guys. Like, I think that was a good win. But at some point, you're wondering, you know, are these losses, are these guys on the IL going to lead to your team struggling a little bit and not being able to, you know, continue to move forward and stay in the pole position in the NL East? I think that's a legitimate concern.
You'd have to think so. You'd have to think it would come up to bite you. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know if I can watch Joey Lucchese pitch anymore.
No.
And it's possible you might be tonight.
Well, they don't even know their starter tonight who it's going to be.
Yeah, it might be him.
I'm sorry. And I'm sure that Joey Lucchese is a lovely man. And if he invited me over for dinner, I would welcomingly accept that.
Because you'd probably just spend dinner screaming about him, about how awful he is.
Well, it might be uncomfortable for him, but I would go for a free meal. Why would I not go?
That's fair. You get a meal out of it, and you get to vent.
I get a meal, and I get to yell at a guy who has underperformed greatly. But I don't need to watch him anymore. I've seen, especially when you get Reed Foley, who pitches like this. Like, every time he comes out there, you're like, oh, this guy's pretty good. Oh, this guy's pretty good. It's enough of Joey Lucchese.
And the options are tonight, what, Jordan Yamamoto and Thomas Supaki? Or Supaki? Zapaki? I don't even know what his name is.
Yeah, I don't even know who he was.
Yeah.
I think Yamamoto seems like the best option, right? At least he's been a major leaguer. He's been a respectable major leaguer in the past.
I would think so. It's just, the point is, you can't expect to continue to be able to do this. And it's not a knock on the Mets, because the fact that they have done what they have done so far has been a testament, Dave, we talked about this a little bit last week, to what their depth has been, about how it's been so much better this season. Like, that's been a major, major difference for them. And you would see in years past where you'd get to a point where you got one or two guys hurt, and then you're replacing them with guys who are going to be looking for work pretty soon. At least it took longer to get to that point with the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, they are ravaged with injuries at the moment. One of those injuries, Taijuan Walker, he leaves the game with a side issue last night. Says it's been bothering him for a little bit. He'll go for an MRI today.
I think we'll do MRI tomorrow just to see what we're dealing with. And again, I don't think it's anything too serious, but I think you just want to get it checked out just to make sure we know what we're dealing with and how we can and continue to do the rehab process with it.
So hopefully it's not a serious issue, but, I mean, you're down DeGrom. Now you're down potentially Walker. Stroman has had hamstring issues this year. Syndergaard is not here. Lucchese is unpitchable. I mean, my God, this Mets staff, which you said, all right, that's going to be good. Carrasco is still out. Syndergaard is still out. They are all sorts of banged up right now.
So, yeah, you have to worry about their ability to be able to overcome this, Dave. The one thing that I will say is if they're going to be able to work past all of these guys being on the IL and all of these injuries to guys on their staff, the lineup is going to have to manufacture offense more consistently. Like, those guys are going to have to step up. Like, Francisco Lindor has got to be better.
Can he step up a little bit at this point now?
Francisco Lindor has to be better. I mean, the guy's batting .185. Like, he's got to be better. Pete Alonso has got to start raking a little bit here. Like, those guys have got to get going if this team is going to get to where they want to go, if they're going to be able to survive these injuries. Like, to me, it's like it has to work together, right? If your starting staff is struggling or if your pitching staff overall is struggling, then you're going to need the lineup to pick you up. The bullpen for the Mets has been really good. The starting rotation has been outstanding. The lineup has been hit or miss. And now when you start talking about all these injuries that you're dealing with your starting staff, like, now it's time for your lineup to step up.
Dom Smith. Can we hear from Dom Smith a little bit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that you're expecting to provide a lot more than he has here so far. And it's nice that you've gotten, I mean, you know, VR's done a decent job. Peraza's done a decent job, but these are just what they're supposed to be. Those are the you know, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th men on your roster. The guys who are the regulars are the ones that actually have to step up. And we talk about the bottom half of the Yankee lineup. I mean, look at the bottom half of the Met lineup last night. It's VR, Peraza, Nito, and, you know, Walker hitting eighth in front of...
Is there a bigger insult in all of sports?
Yeah.
When the pitcher bats eighth and then the everyday position player bats ninth.
I
mean,
I'd take it as an insult if I didn't know who the heck Dineshwi Fargas was before yesterday.
All right, since you seem to be all over everything right now, can you, and honestly, spell Dineshwi?
All right.
No shot. No shot.
Probably not. But once again, I'd like to point out my degree in English.
Yes. You're this close to being an attorney.
I'm going
to
say it's J-O-N-E-S-H-W-Y.
Close.
No. Can I get the... No, close. No, Santy.
Close. Wow. It's close.
Yeah, very close. You missed skipped the letter.
Where did I miss the H? J-O-H-N?
Yeah, J-O-H-N,
yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't Google that one, Dave, like my number in college. Yeah. Googled that one. He didn't Google that one.
You see it. You can see me on Zoom.
He didn't Google it, Dave. That's why I got it wrong.
I'm wondering how you knew that he was 95.
Wow, wow.
I must have told you.
Yeah, there's something nefarious going on there.
If I am cheating, I will give that up in that spot. I'm not like DiPietro where I'll just fold up and give it to you.
Gave it up immediately.
Yeah.
Didn't last at all with that. It was embarrassing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Carlin, first of all, I hear we are all invited over to your home for Memorial Day weekend. Is that right?
Sure. Why not?
Now, come on out. I don't believe that that's legitimate. I think that's let me invite you guys, and I know that you will not show up.
No, I mean, listen, you're in Westchester. You can, it's not that bad. It's probably only about a 2-hour ride to where I am.
2 hours?
Yeah. I live out in western New Jersey. I live out past Princeton. I'm basically about 2.5-3 miles from the Pennsylvania border.
Oh, yeah, that's a hike right there.
Yeah, that's very far.
Yeah, that's going to take you a while, Dave.
Yeah. And Chris, it'll take you a while, too. I mean, whatever anybody wants to do. Anybody is welcome out here anytime you like. We got a little fire pit. It's nice. I've got a smallish pool. I've got, cable.
Smallish and, pool.
You're selling us on cable? Everybody has cable.
I got there third, okay? Not first, third.
Wow.
honestly, you don't want us to go.
I absolutely do. I love having people over, and trust me, after the last year, I mean, the fact that this situation with my wife not turning into The Shining and Jack Nicholson and wanting to kill me is just a huge upset. Can you imagine spending well over a year inside of a house with me?
No,
I can't imagine that. No.
Yeah.
No. So, she's a saint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Carlin, so what's on the menu for one of the big fellas get-togethers? Like, what would you have on the menu?
Oh, well, one of the favorites is, you know, in the apps department, macaroni and cheese bites that my wife makes that are just off.
Fried?
Nope, they're baked.
Baked, okay.
But they are really well done and really crispy.
Okay.
Oh, top notch.
I love that fried mac and cheese. If it's anything like that fried mac and cheese, it's
fried mac and cheese is amazing.
Oh, it is. It is.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
I still don't think you want us. I think this is an idle. Come on, of course. I'd love people. And the way you say it also, I love when people come over. You're not defining I'd love for you guys to come over. You just like when any people happen to stop by and come over.
No, I would love for you guys to come over. I feel like we've worked on something special here over
Give
the last
Give us a legitimate date, make an offer, and throw it down here.
All right, Memorial Day, come on over.
Yeah, I can't make it.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be out of town anyway.
See?
He wasn't banging on you taking him up on it, Dave.
You're not even in town. No, see, I told you it was hollow. I want a legitimate offer on a legitimate day, and I would love to come.
Listen, this is not the DiPietro estate, okay? You don't have to get security clearance.
There's a pool.
Huh?
There's a pool.
There is a pool.
When it's inflated, Dave.
No,
see,
I'm not.
That hurts.
There's a beautiful gunite pool happening over there. I know that. Is there a diving board?
There's no diving board. Too shallow to dive. Only 6 feet.
No. Yeah, plus if you dove in, all the water would be out. So.
Wow.
Just saying.
What is this about?
I don't know.
Holy crap.
Because he wasn't here last week, so he missed me.
Because Rick's off the show, I feel like there's got to be somebody that has the quips and gets after people.
And now I just, because of all this, I just got an image of myself sitting in a little tiny inflatable baby pool in the backyard, shirtless with a, you know, Schlitz.
That's high class.
And that's all I'm thinking about.
That's high class. Oh, but I want, now, could we ever use the pool when you were not around?
Yeah, you'll just need to sign a couple of waivers, but sure, that's no problem.
Have you heard about this, by the way? There's a service where you can rent someone else's pool.
Well, we actually thought about it last summer, but then like that whole insurance thing, like I said, we have a shallow pool. You don't want people diving in when it's shallow, all that stuff.
There is no way I would ever let anyone rent my
Yeah,
house.
I have so many questions as to how something like that would work, though. No. Like, conceptually, how does that happen?
You go online, you sign up, or you're going to pay, like, I think, you know, the majority around where I live, we looked, a few other people had done it, it was like $50 an hour. And so, and you had to do like a 2 or 3 hour minimum, but no more than 4.
No, I don't want
okay,
that.
So somebody's just in your backyard, in your pool,
you're
while
not
you're
there.
In your house?
Yeah, no, you leave, you're not around, and you give them free reign of your property.
Not just of your backyard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of the grill, if that's something they choose to partake in.
Sure, but you don't have to leave. I mean, you don't have to leave the house. But I mean, it's not that you want to hang around when somebody's doing that.
There is no way for $100 you are going to now take control of my backyard.
Well, that's what I ultimately decided.
Yeah, there is zero chance of that happening.
That's what I ultimately decided. But last summer, in the midst of all this, there were a lot of people doing it. And there was a lot of money changing hands.
That's hard times right there.
Yeah.
But
it was because nobody could go anywhere, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
$2.50 an hour, 3 hours, $7.50 an hour talking. $50 an hour, zero chance. No chance.
You know what? You're the guy that would go to Toys R Us after the day, you know, like a couple of days before Thanksgiving, doing your research to find out what the hot toy was going to be, and then selling them out of your trunk on December 23rd.
Absolutely.
At five times the markup.
It's entrepreneurial. That's brilliant. Tremendous respect for someone that would do that. What's wrong with that?
I think you would call it America. I'd call it, you know, wrong.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Take advantage of people at the holidays.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, and we'll get into Luis Rojas in just a moment. What a gruesome injury. I mean, that guy's disturbing. Honestly, if you're Kevin Pillar, and
we're talking about your nosebleed. I thought we were talking about your nosebleed.
No, not my nosebleed. You know, between you and Canty, well, I'm just trying to move us along here. That's all I'm trying to do. But that injury is horrendous. And we saw it with Stanton. I don't know, and I'm sure he'll be able to. I don't know how guys ever get into the batter's box again and look down the barrel of 95 coming at them. I just, God bless him, Kevin Pillar. But that was a traumatic experience last night.
Yeah, I mean, it affected players on both teams, Dave. I mean, that's how scary it was in that moment. And you saw Webb, like, he just crumbled on the mound.
He couldn't stay in the game.
Because he knew, like, that was something that was serious. Like, I mean, the guy's life is in danger when you're talking about 94, 95 in the face. Now, thankfully, Pillar was able to get up and walk off under his own power. But I just, like, that's just a really scary moment, and anything can happen. Like, you don't know, you know, what the impact could be when that baseball is hitting them in the face like that.
Unbelievably scary. And, I mean, obviously the first thing you thought is he broke his nose right away.
Right.
But as it's just, I mean, it was pouring out of his face.
Oh, it's terrible.
It really was. And Pillar tweeted later on that he's okay and everything's fine. But you're right. Like, They talked about Stanton when he got hit in Miami, right, about how long it took for him to get back. You could argue that outside of the back injury, that after David Wright got hit by Matt Cain, was he ever fully the same player? I mean, he had a couple of good seasons, but I don't know if he was ever fully the same guy. It has got to be a remarkably traumatic experience to have that happen. And if you're Webb, like, you're right, Chris. I mean, he looks so upset.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine having that on your conscience?
No. And I had a nosebleed last night, so I understand what Pillar was going through. I mean,
exactly.
There you go.
Really?
Exactly.
It's very disturbing. When you see blood just pouring out of you, it's very disturbing. Here is
and yet you got up and did the show.
Yeah, and I actually had, like, still a little trickle of blood this morning, too.
Oh, boy.
But I pushed through. I mean, Pillar and I have a lot in common.
Let's hope you can make it through the next couple hours.
Yeah, Luis Rojas after the game last night on Kevin Pillar.
Now, right now, he's in the hospital. They're doing a CT scan. You know, we'll find out more probably later tonight, something that we can share with you guys tomorrow potentially. But our head trainer Brian Ciclo took him there, and they're still doing some of the tests that they need to do just to see what, you know, what he has.
It looks like he's going to be okay. I would not be surprised at all if there was a broken nose there, but God, what a tough guy, and these athletes really are amazing. Manager of the Braves, Brian Snitker, says he was disturbed. The whole team was disturbed by what happened last night.
That's about as sickening as thing, I think, as you can see on a baseball field when a kid gets hit like that. I just keep that kid in my prayers, and hopefully everything works out okay, because, you know, this guy's nothing but a pro, the way he carries himself, how he plays the game. He's a gamer. I mean, that guy, and he's a true pro and playing against him, so I just hope everything works out good for him.
You really could see last night how much it upset Atlanta, which I actually had a lot of respect for. Like, you saw Webb was shaking. He couldn't even stay in the game. Was he allowed to come out of the game? Because had he faced a three-batter minimum at that point? They were talking about maybe he wasn't supposed to leave the game, but I don't know. They let him leave the game, and then you saw him on the bench, and he was obviously upset, and he needed to be consoled. And now you hear Snitker. Like, there was something respectful about the way that Atlanta handled that last night, Canty.
No, and it should have been handled that way, Dave, just because you recognize that that's a different situation altogether. Like, guys realize, like, you're out there competing against one another, but ultimately you're colleagues that are working together to put forth an entertainment product. Like, that's the reality of it. And when something happens like that to jeopardize somebody's well-being, everything stops. Like, Dave, the only thing I can liken it to on a football field is, like, if a guy is, you know, going up to try to knock down a pass or catch a pass, and he hits his head on the turf and he's laying there motionless. Like, that's one of those where, you know, everything stops for that moment because guys recognize their own mortality and they're worried about one of their brothers. Like, you felt that from both teams last night when Pilar got hit in the face with that pitch. And so, you know, it's just, that's one of those things that's hard to work past. And you can understand why the pitcher that threw that pitch would want to come out of the game, just because, you know, he's not in a mental state to be able to go out there and do his job. And you don't want to jeopardize anybody else's health at the same time. So, like, you get it, you understand it, and I thought the way that both teams handled it was the right way to handle it.
He did face enough batters, because he came in and he faced McCann. He faced three or four batters, actually.
Well, I don't know why they're talking about, are you allowed to? I don't know if you guys are watching the game on SNY, but they're like, he's not allowed to leave the game. I was like, maybe he hasn't faced enough batters. But,
well, he came in after Nito doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fried started that inning, and then they came out and checked on Fried as far as the injury. So I'm looking at the play-by-play right now. He faced McCann, Fargus, Lindor, yep, Alonzo, Dom Smith before he got to Pilar.
Fargus. What would happen if he was just like, I can't continue? Like, I faced two batters, but I'm spent. I can't continue.
I would think at that point you'd almost have to fake an injury.
Yeah.
Like, because it is the rule, you know, it's part of the game, unfortunately, and I get it, but you have to do it, you know, it's the only way to get yourself out of that game. Like, if you're thinking about it in the moment, you know, you're back on the back of the mound and you're down crouching like he was, like a catcher really thinking about it. I mean, like, the only thing to do is to get up and start a fake limp or something.
Yeah, but the reality is, if he's in that emotional state, the last thing that Mets hitters want to do is face that guy.
Right.
That's the last thing you want
to
do.
Throw to the next guy.
Go ahead and let him go out of the game.
The Mets are probably saying, we'll sign a waiver. Go ahead. Exactly. Let him out of the game after
exactly.
two batters.
Exactly.
I only saw it happen one other time. And, like, did you notice they had that, I don't know what that stuff was, they poured in the dirt to get rid of all of the blood?
Oh, God.
And the only time I saw it happen in a high school game I played in, same thing, blood's pouring out of a kid's nose, but, like, the umpire didn't even do anything to get rid of the blood.
So the blood was just sitting there?
So the next time, the next person who came up to bat just had to kick it around with his foot to try to cover it up. I mean, it's so disturbing on so many levels to see that.
Terrible. I think because I was actually watching the game years ago. I think Fires stayed in the game after he hit Stanton in the face.
I think you're right.
I think And selfishly, and I'll show you how nerdy I am, I had fires on my fantasy team.
Mm. Mm.
And I believe that was the fifth inning. And they were Milwaukee was winning big, and he just had I think he's on Milwaukee. He had to make it through the inning.
And you're screaming at the television, "Don't you dare come out!"
No, I was not actually. I had a because when a guy gets hit in the face, and you can tell the guy is, like, for lack of a better term, broken. It's upsetting down the line. But I remember thinking to myself, "I wonder if he's able to stay in and finish the inning." And he did. He finished the fifth inning, and he picked up the win. But that. To watch that, it's very unsettling. It really is. And last night, it's just like it puts a damper on the entirety of the game.
All's well that ends well because you won your fantasy matchup.
Listen, I'm not saying that.
Kind of dead.
Well, maybe a little. All right, right? Listen up, Jets fans. 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score Jets tickets. Listen all week to DCR in the 7 o'clock hour and the Michael Kay Show in the 5 o'clock hour for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Jets home opener against the Patriots, who signed another quarterback in Brian Hoyer yesterday. Each winner will also have a chance to be upgraded to season tickets. Ooh, season tickets. The grand prize season ticket winner will be chosen at random and announced on the Michael Kay Show this Friday, all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium are on sale right now. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. Have you guys at all changed your mindset on Luis Rojas, the fact that this team is scrappy with him right now, even though they're so banged up?
No, I still feel like he's out over his skis with his job, Dave. I don't think that he's going to be a big-time, big-league manager. I don't see that from him, but I just think that this team is so talented that they've found a way to be at the top of this division. Now we'll see if they can sustain it, especially with all the injuries that they're facing right now. But I still don't trust Rojas to be able to, you know, navigate his way around, you know, the different issues that might come up with the big league club over the course of a 162-game regular season. Yeah, like, I just don't trust him.
I tend to agree with you.
As do I. And the in-game moves are the things that bother me sometimes. I mean, there have been a few of them this year where you just – What are we doing? You just, and it's not the typical analytic stuff either. It's not, you know, somebody's in his ear telling him to do something. It's I really do wonder how much of a great feel he has for the game, even though the players do like him and he's been around the organization as long as he has. To me, put it this way: are the Mets going to win with Luis Rojas as their manager? No.
No. When you say win, what do you mean? The whole
thing?
Be
in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's very unlikely. But here's the thing. If DeGrom is what he's capable of doing, and Syndergaard comes back in and is great, and Carrasco and Lugo and the bullpen, you might win in spite of what he brings to the table as the manager.
Yeah, but the question is, win what, Dave? I mean, we know that this is going to be a really ambitious owner. I mean, the owner of the Mets is the richest owner in the sport, and he's going to want to have a say in terms of, you know, what this team's future is. And if the manager that's the incumbent doesn't exceed the expectations, you know, early on during his tenure as the owner, then Steve Cohen is going to make a move and he's going to find his guy. Like, that's the thing that to me is something to keep an eye on throughout all of this season with the Mets, is just, you know, how does Steve Cohen feel about Luis Rojas? Because if Luis Rojas doesn't make a huge first impression in a positive way, then there's no way that he's going to be long as manager for the Mets.
No, I don't think he's going to be long either.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.